with you. Well, it's a real joy and honor to be back here at God's house, especially here at the Living Waters Baptist Church. I sure appreciate each one of you folks and love you very much. I've really been looking forward to this meeting. I have, the pastor said, I've been out 3 weeks this time, preaching somewhere every night, somewhere every day, telling the story that how that Jesus loves sinful men. Now, last week, I know this might sound impossible, but 5 Yankees got saved last week. Amen. Amen. Don't you believe that stuff that Yankees can't shout and praise the Lord? They sure can. They might shout funny, but they sure shout. Amen. Amen. I can promise you that. But we had a real good time up there with them. And then last week, Thursday night of the meeting, there was a lady that come visit the church. She had just got out of the penitentiary. It was the second hitch in the penitentiary. And for killing a man, don't you think nothing about it. You feel like killing them yourself sometimes, ladies. Isn't that right? And anyway, for killing a man. And anyway, she got saved last Thursday night. And I mean, that was good. That was so good. But you know what was so good? As many years she'd been gone, the next night she come back to church, brought her 2 boys with her, and both of her boys got saved. Amen. So, I mean, we all got drunk around there. We really had a time. I want to say something. Now, I want you to think about this. Isn't it a shame when we get down to the house of God on Sunday morning and the Lord fills our cup on Sunday that it all leaks out by Monday? Isn't that a shame? Now, they've been preaching and I'm singing and talking about all day about grace. My message this morning for the homecoming message on how to get more grace. How do you get more grace? How do you get about it? Everybody knows about the grace of God. But how do you get that extra blessing? There's something going wrong in the church nowadays that we got some sins in the church that is in good standing that people don't think nothing about it at all. Lie, cheat, steal, do anything you want to. Don't read our Bible, don't pray, don't study, don't do a thing. And we think that we're just as close to God as you ever seen in your life. But the thing about that is we are fooling ourselves. Is that right? We're fooling ourselves. Pull my glasses away now. We have some sins in real good standing that people just don't think much about it. But I tell you one thing, that Bible says that our sins have separated us from our God and He's hid His face from us. But I want you to know, I don't care if you're saved or whatever your condition in life, if you're unsaved here today, we want to see you born into the family of God. If you're here today and you are saved, we want to try to help you to be the best homecoming that you've ever had in your life to get things fixed up between you and the Father. Is that right? I want you to do me a favor real quickly. I'm not going to hold you a few minutes. I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter number 23. And then we're going to turn to the book of James, Jeremiah chapter number 23. Thank you so much, Brother Wayne, for letting me be with you. Thank you so much. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 23 and 24, he said, I am the Lord, I am a God at hand, saith the Lord. Please underline that. I am not a God of afar off. Can any hide himself in secret places that I do not see him? He said, there's not a place you can go on this planet to hide your sin that I can see you, saith the Lord. Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord. Now, you don't have to go no further. Turn to the book of James for time's sake, please. In the New Testament, to the book of James. Now, this James here, I'd like to preach sometime on the whole book about James here. You know, James is the half-brother of the Lord. Yes, right. He's the half-brother of the Lord. And the Bible said that in John's Gospel chapter 7, that when Jesus was still in his ministry, that he went back home and James or the other brothers did not believe in him. But on the day of Pentecost, The Bible said that James was in the upper room with Mary, and James got saved by the grace of God. Then the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is telling about the 500 that Jesus saw right before he went back to heaven. And he said he was seen of 500, he was seen of James, and last of all, he was seen of me. He begins to talk about how that the Lord seen him. Now I want you to look real close in James chapter number 4. There's a few words that I'm going to pick out of here in a few minutes before we bring the message. And I want you to watch this. Verse 1. James 4 and in verse 1. He said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? He's talking to the church now. War, they're fighting in the church. Which come fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your own lust that war in your own members? He said, you lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Look at verse 3. He tells you why your prayers go unanswered. In verse 3, unanswered prayers. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, and that ye may consume it upon your list. Two things is because you don't keep steady pray about it. Number 2 is because it's something to satisfy your own lust. Number 4, James said, you're a friend of the world. In verse 4, you're adulterers. You're adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity or hatred with God? Whosoever shall be a friend, therefore, of the world is the enemy of God. Remember that. Number 3, your prayers are answered. Number 4, you're a friend of the world. Number 5, you eat up with the flesh. Number 5, now verse 5, do you think that the scriptures say it in vain, the spirit that dwelleth lusteth in thee? Here it is. But he giveth what? He gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, and resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you're double-minded. There's two times that I mentioned the word therefore. Therefore always connects something together. You'll find the first one in verse 4. He's connecting all the adulterers and why you have you don't have your prayers answered. Verse 4. He said, therefore, we'll be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It connects all of that stuff that's going on. And then in verse 7, you see the same word, therefore. And I want you to notice that word, flee. It said, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will what?
Flee.
It means that he'll just cut out. He'll come trail, and he'll get away from you. Because you're beginning to do what? Submit yourselves unto God. Now, I like to watch these extreme fighting sports. When those guys, how did they kick fight and how did they box? And they get a guy in a death lock and they hold it like this. And that guy does what they call the tap out when he goes down. You know why he does that? Because he is completely submitted to the one that's holding him. James, the brother of the Lord, said if you want more grace, you're going to have to resist the devil. Now, you don't have to tell me about resisting. I remember a long time back when I was a young boy, about 23 years old. I got arrested out in Texas by the state troopers. And they arrested me and drove me in the cop's car in the back. And I got them trying to kick the back windows out, trying to pull the handles off, trying to do everything else. And you know what they charged me with? Resisting arrest. So I say, bless God, you got permission from God to kick the fire out of the devil. Is that right? So he said, here therefore, submit yourselves to God. Now watch this now. In verse 8, what's going to happen? Resist the devil. He's going to flee from you. Now watch this. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. My question to you here is this. How close to God are you? I'm not asking you what kind of Bible you have. I'm not asking you what church you attend to. I'm not asking you about none of your convictions, nothing. But I want to ask you tonight, how close to God are you? There's lots of Bible promises in the Bible that is conditional, and some is unconditional. This verse here is conditional. He said, if you submit yourselves to God and draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. It is a conditional promise. If you resist the devil, you draw nigh to me, I'll come to you. You don't come to me, I won't come to you. Is that right? Is that true? Now 2 Chronicles 7:14 says it's the same thing. If my people which are called by my name, if you'll do it, that's a conditional promise. The only Bible, the one verse of the Bible, the doctrine of the Bible that is not conditional is salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now watch this when it closed. He said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. I'm going to act like I'm the one that's away. Brother Charles, will you stand up? I want you to stand, get at the end of that pew over there where you're at. I want you to watch this. Watch this close. Face that way, will you, Brother Charles? Get back over here with me. Back over here with me. Just follow my steps. Now watch this real close. Walk with me. Now watch this real close. Hold it, Brother Charles. You see what God's talking about? We're walking the same path, but we're separated a long way apart. Is that right? But he said, come sit up with me. If I draw nigh to him, we will have a head-on encounter.
Yes, sir.
But if I don't come towards him, he's not going to come towards me. Is that right? Said I'm doing my brother Charles. Is that right? I read you in Jeremiah chapter 23. He said, I'm not of a God of a fall. I want to get near you, but you're going to have to submit yourself to me.
Right, that's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Every step that I take towards God, when the prodigal son got ready to come home, when he got out of the pig pen, when he started home, the father ran out to meet him.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
Now let me give you a few things and we'll go eat. Watch this real close. Some reasons that I need to draw near to God. Watch this real close if you're writing this down. Come here, Brother Charles. Stand up again, please. Come here, Brother Charles. You see, the reason I need to be near to him, put you down here. Number one thing, I've got to be close enough because there's some things that I've got to tell him. Thank you, brother. If he's over there and I'm over here, I'm God over. Everybody knows me and his business. Is that right? But when he's up close to me, I can tell him, number one thing, I can tell him some secrets. There's some secrets in my life and in your life you don't dare tell nobody else. Is that right? I've had some things happen in my life that I've told preachers and their wives, and they spread it all over the country. But you can tell him anything that you want with what you need. And whatever you tell him, you don't have to worry about get out of it. Is that right? So the reason I got to draw near to him, there's some things I got to tell him. I got to tell him. And the good thing about when I say that I got to tell him some secrets, you know why I won't get out? Do you know one of his names is? Secret. He will keep your secrets. Is that right? Did you know when that prodigal son got ready to come back home and he seen that boy coming back home in Luke 15:23, he ran out and met that boy. He sent back to the house. He said, you give me a robe and a ring and kill the fatted calf.
Right.
That boy didn't have to go down to the church and tell about his nasty sins. God already knew about it. He buried him out there. Now glory to God and put a new robe on him out there.
Right.
You don't have to tell everything that happened to you out there in the world. That's between you and God.
Yep.
And that's a secret between you and him. My daughter told me a while back, you know, the one that I told you about that got pregnant and out of wedlock, got pregnant out of wedlock and gone for a year and a half. It ain't been maybe several months back, me and her was talking to us in the restaurant. And she dad said, Daddy, there's some things that happened out there that only me and God knows about. It's a secret. And you don't have to worry about him telling about it. Is that right? So I got to draw nigh to him because there's some things I got to tell him. I got to tell him about my secrets. Next thing it is, I got to tell him that I'm sorry. That I'm sorry about some things that I've done. That's why Peter was so glad that after he denied the Lord, that it was a place that he could get back. Come here, Brother Charles. Come here, Brother Charles. How did he could get up there and... He didn't want any other people and other than his 11 disciples to hear. They'd have spread it all over. Is that right? So there's some times in your life, and the reason that you need to draw near him and get near him, there's some things. You better not even tell in this church. They'll spread it all over the county. Is that right? Is that true? Biggest gossip and backbite people I ever seen in my life is an independent Baptist church. Is that right? They'll tell on you, they'll tell it, and add to it every time they tell it. But he'll never do that. But I got to tell him I'm sorry about some things. Because I'm telling you the truth. I failed him many a time, brother. And I'd be in a Shoney's or a place sitting there with a bunch of preachers and I'd tell it. It would be 6 months later he'd get back to me. You know what I heard about you? So there's some things that I got to tell him that I'm sorry that that's just me and him. Amen. Is that right? Why, it's another of that reason you need to draw nigh. It's because some things that you got to tell him. If you want to write this down, I'd buy my secrets and I'll buy it. I'm sorry. I'm going to show you something else, brother. Come here, brother. Come here. Brother, stand up here. Will you stand up here? Watch this. No, you get right here. Just get it between us. Now watch this. I can't get to him because I got something in between me and him. Is that right?
Right.
And I don't care if it's your wife, if it's your children, your job, or whatever it may be. You don't want to get nothing in between you and him.
Right.
Is that right? Is that right? It'll block the vision. It'll block the vision. Is that right? And I can't get near him to tell him what I need to tell him about my secrets and that I'm sorry about some things. But if I can ever get him out of my that thing out of my way, then I can get up real close to him. Is that right? And not only that, when I'm up close to him, that means I can touch him. Last week's revival, every time they prayed, they said, "Oh God! Lord God, we pray that you'll touch us in the name of God." What's wrong with us touching him?
Yeah, right.
Why can't we touch him? He said, "I'm available. Come to me. Touch me."
Yeah.
Amen, brother. Thank you, brother. So we need to get near him so we can tell him. We got to get near him so we can touch him. Now, watch this real close. Here's my pen. Come here, Brother Charles. Now, if I can get close to touch him, and I can get a hold, first thing, of his hand. Well, now, the Bible says that how that your name is in the palm of his hand. But if you wrote it with a pen, it'd wash away. But that Bible said, "I have graven thee upon the palm of my hands. I carved your name." Anybody got a pocket knife? Who's got a pocket knife? Give me a pocket knife. Give me a pocket. Come on.
You need help, brother.
Now say you was there and he took a knife. Whenever the storms is raging, hell's against me. If I can ever get a hold of his hand, and I can feel my name in the palm of his hand, it'll steady me through the biggest storm that I've ever had in my life. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So why do I need to draw that? You talk about a homecoming. This is homecoming. You're saved. You're saved by the grace of God. You might be walking down this aisle. He's walking down that aisle. You're going to church. You read your Bible. You do this thing. But you're still involved.
Yes, sir. Come.
Do you want more grace?
Yes, sir.
That whenever the storms come and you get a hold of that hand and you can feel it. Thank you so much, Brother Charles. Yes, sir. Thank you much. Not only that, I got to tell him because I got to touch him. Because I feel his hand. But I need to ask you another question. Do you ever get close enough that you can trust him? Do you ever get close enough not only to touch him, but you might be able to trust him? Because I'm going to tell you something. You might not have come to this thing yet. But when the doctor comes to you and says that C word, that you got cancer and you ain't got very long to live, and they give up on you and walk out, I'll guarantee you one day you'll learn to trust him. Is that right? Let me give you another real quick. We're going to get out of here. Come here, brother. Come here, Brother Charles. Stand up here. Now watch this real close. When I'm up close to him, like this here, I can touch his hand and I can touch his heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what John did in John's Gospel,
sir.
Chapter 13.
Yes,
the Bible said he leaned over on the bosom of the Lord.
Yes,
he could hear the very heartbeat of God.
Yes,
is that right?
Sure,
but you can't have nothing in between you and him. It's got to be whatever you got sin in your life, whatever's in your life that's stopping you. You say you want more grace? This morning, this homecoming, you can walk out of here shouting the victory and say, glory to God, not only do I have saving grace, but now I got more grace.
Right.
Hey. Yes, is that right?
Yes,
sir. Thank you, Brother Charles. You can sit down. So not only that, if you draw nigh to him, he said, because every time you take an advancement towards me, I'll take an advancement towards you. Then you can touch his hand. Then you can touch his heart. And then you can trust him. Not only that, there's a thing in the Bible called how that you can try the Lord. There's many verses that my wife, after she come down with cancer, has got in her Bible. And she's got TP. How that she tried him and he proved to do exactly what he said that he would do. But you don't get that afar off. You got to get up near to him. Come here, sir. Show up toward him, Brother Charles. Here we are. I take a step. He takes a step. Is that right? And then we get together. And the brother, the half-brother of the Lord said, if you'll draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. You resist the stinking devil and tell him to cut a trail and get out of your face. Is that right? Satan, get behind me. I want more grace.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what the Lord will do for each one of us here. Thank you so much, brother. What about you? How far off are you? You see, there's some things that only you and him know that are so rotten and vile and repulsive. But when you come to him and you lean on him and you tell him, Lord, I got to have help with this condition. I got to have problems. I got to have help with the problems that I got. I guarantee you one thing. You see, Moses talked about it. Moses said there's a secret place by the Lord. And in that secret place is where you get more grace. But he said, if you want that more grace, you're going to have to resist the devil. And he said, I promise you that he'll flee from you. We're so eat up with carnal desires and passions nowadays. When we come to church on Sunday and we've got the victory and we'll shout and sing. And on Monday we look like a sick chicken sitting around. Is that right? Today is homecoming day. And the Father sent me 12 and a half hours from Perry, Florida to tell you this. That today if you'll come to him, if you'll make the first step towards him, he'll move towards you. And you can have a head-on encounter with him here today. You'll walk out of that door today and say, I've got more grace than I've ever thought available for anybody. Let's bow our heads with it, please. You hear this morning, you say, Brother Johnny, as I sit here today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt Brother Johnny, that I'm born again. Brother Johnny, I know what you're talking about, that first grace. Might have been on a board ship. Might have been in the army. Might have been at your mama's knee. I don't know where it might have been. How can I tell you something in 2008? That grace is still sufficient. I'd say in the last month, I think I've seen 12 people get born again, finding that new grace. But you know what I'm finding out, Brother Wayne? It's folks has been in church for years. Been in church for years. You heard the sister get up here and testify thinking that she was saved. They're doing an estimation now that they 85% of folks that is in the church has a testimony or talk about being saved, but they're not saved. They've never been born again. They've never been washed of the blood. They don't really know what it is to have the peace of God. And when you get near Him, I can promise you, into that secret place when you draw near Him, the things that have been bothering you and tearing your nerves up so bad that you might be ready to start taking all kinds of drugs, it'll smooth out, because here come the Lord of your home. Me and my wife had a house for years, but we never had a home until Christ come into our home, and He become Lord of our home. And that's why I say I've got to draw nigh to Him. I've got to get near Him, Brother Wayne, but nobody else can help me. I've got to be near Him. I say, oh God, help me. Oh God, I need to get near You, Lord. I want more grace, Lord. I'm going to have more grace. We had some singers in the church this week got up and sung. Oh, they just sung. And I couldn't help but ask them when they got down, sir, you and your singers, I need to ask you a question. How long you been backslid? How long you been backslid? He said, what makes you think I'm backslid? I said, just the way you talked about the Lord. You're not no more near the Lord than nothing. You say, Brother John, as I sit here today, I'd like every twice born child of God that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was a day and a time and a place in your life that you're born again. Will you signify by an uplifted hand, say, Brother Johnny, I know that I'm saved. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Aren't you? Put them down now. You say, Brother Johnny, as I sit here tonight, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what you're talking about. But Brother Johnny, I've never experienced that new grace the first time in my life. Brother Johnny, I've tried to run my life my own self. I've tried to handle it myself. And Brother Johnny, I'm just about at the end of wit's end. And I can't take it no more. Brother Johnny, I got to have help. Brother Johnny, I got to be born again. Would there be one? You're concerned about your destination. Say, Brother Johnny, I got to have help. Pray for me. Would there be one? Wouldn't there be one? Say, pray for me, Brother Johnny. Pray for me, Brother Johnny. Wouldn't there be one? Wouldn't there be one? Say, help me. God bless you. Wouldn't there be another? Wouldn't there be another? Say, pray for me, Brother Johnny. Wouldn't there be one? All right, now I'm going to ask you a question. You're here today. You're saved. And you belong to Him. James said there's fighting and quarreling and adultery and adulteresses, and you're not having your prayers answered. You're eat up with lust. You're eat up with the lust of the flesh. And you're walking afar off from Him. Or you're walking in the same direction. Oh, yes, you're going to church. Oh, yes, you carry your Bible. Oh, yes, you're singing. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, you're doing all the things in the church. But you're so far from God. You say, Brother Johnny, I got to have some help. Pray for me. Would there be one? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Look at the precious hand. Thank you for your honesty and your sincerity. Because the Lord wants you to draw nigh to Him. In fact, you can check Strong's Concordance 1448. It means come get in my lap. Come, sit down. Tell me what's bothering you. Glory to God. Tell me what's hurting you and I'll help you. But He
said, I can't help you. If you don't come to me, I can't come to you. But he said, I can tell you this. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast you out. There's things in between you and the Savior. Today, you need to come and get it straight. Let's all say, if we would, you that are saved, that are walking afar off, now is your time to come this morning. Let's stand, please. You're going to sing for us, brother.